This is Crucial Tech, a podcast about the technology that affects us all, but few of us understand, presented in a format that can give you some basic understanding in the time it takes to drive for the grocery store. I'm Luke Hevey, an independent journalist who's been writing about various technologies ranging from renewable energy to digital security for more than 40 years. I probably know more about it than you do, and if I don't, I will introduce you to those who do. And now for part two of our series on automated vehicles, where did we go wrong? Last week, we talked to Rick Turner from Ovum on the history of artificial intelligence as it relates to the automotive world. And today, we're delving into the subject of secure technology in automated vehicles and the difficulties arising from that area. We're talking to cybersecurity Matt Rosenquist. Matt is a sought-after speaker and consultant in the world of cybersecurity on pretty much all levels of technology. We've had him on the show before talking about the danger from state actors, but I wanted to get his input on this subject as he's expanding his reach into all areas of security. I opened up with a real softball. Matthew, where did we screw up an autonomous vehicle?
Oh, that's a big and complex topic. It's a great, juicy topic that we kind of need to unpeel, right? As you pointed out, and as the New York Times recent article pointed out, right, the challenges to get truly autonomous vehicles on the road, it's we didn't know what we didn't know, right, the industry. And the industry really underestimated the challenges. Now, that didn't stop people from making commitments, obviously, right? Because it's a business as well. But the level of complexity really was kind of beyond. Artificial intelligence has greatly helped, right? It has really enabled all of this to come into play, especially machine learning and deep learning. But even in those aspects, it's the functionality of the technology, the speed of the technology, the complexity of both the software and the learning, and then, you know, once you get into inference, the challenges are really big. And people are understanding that now. However, a lot of commitments and expectations have been set. Mm-hmm. It's been set via the media. It's been set by the actual car companies. So there's now a lot of pressure. And early on, especially as cars were being connected, right? Not even autonomous cars, just cars being connected and controlled, where you started getting a lot of ECUs in there, right? Electronic control units. And you started seeing some of the hacking attempts and really being successful, unfortunately. And first it was local attacks and then it was remote attacks. So there was a knowledge and an understanding that cybersecurity was absolutely needed. And very early on, when you started talking about autonomous vehicles, people and the autonomous, companies were saying, yes, security is very important. However, when there's more tension in the system and there are resources and timelines that are constrained, we see this all the time. Mm-hmm. Security tends to be deprioritized, right?
Yeah.
And we see two different groups, right? And I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, and that's fine. I love having the discussion and the arguments, with my colleagues out there. I see two different groups that are tracking cybersecurity and working on cybersecurity in the autonomous vehicle industry. You have some hardcore, and there's not many of them, but you've got some hardcore cybersecurity people. And we tend to be a little bit more paranoid and a little bit more cautious. And we tend to think about not necessarily the threats of yesterday or even today. We're looking at those threats in the future as technology evolves and adoption takes. And you've got a small community there, and they're worried. Right. When I reach out to my colleagues like this, they're in the same space. They're like, nope, cybersecurity is not even ready. We don't even know what we're securing. Right. The architecture isn't even in place. So we're kind of nervous. Then you've got the other community, which is much larger. And these are hardcore technologists. Brilliant, brilliant people, by the way. I've worked with many of them out there. Really smart technologists that kind of fancy themselves security-ish.
Right.
And they are much more confident. And they are very, they're oversimplifying the problem. You know, you talk with them and they say, oh, no, it'll be fine. We're doing encryption. Really? Do you actually know what that means? Oh no, we're fine. We're gonna have antivirus. You mean anti-malware? Yeah, that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do anti-malware. Oh, okay. How are you gonna implement that? How are you gonna keep it updated? What are you gonna be looking for? Do you even know what threats you're gonna be tracking? Because the current threats that are gonna impact these vehicles don't even exist yet. Well, it'll be fine. Oh. Okay, I'm glad you think so, right? So, or they'll say, oh, we're going to install a firewall. Really? And that's going to protect you. Okay. So it's, unfortunately, they're oversimplifying the problems, and they're putting in their mind piecemeal solutions in a framework that they're thinking, this is just like a PC. And therefore, whatever works on a PC today should be fine. The firewall, the anti-malware, we'll do patches and updates, you know, on a monthly basis or whatever. Yeah, that doesn't work. It just simply doesn't track. And I always, always take advantage of the opportunity to sit down with them. And, you know, I'm the monkey throwing the wrenches into the conversation. Right. And so when they say, oh, we're going to do, you know, malware and I'll ask them, so you're going to treat it like a PC. Oh, yeah. That's what we're going to do. Okay. So PCs get hacked all the time. Well, yeah. But, you know, we'll do it better. Okay. No details, but okay. But the stakes are different, aren't they? If my PC gets ransomware, I get mad. I might lose some data, but I'm not stuck on the freeway at night somewhere. Because my car won't start, right? If my PC has a blue screen of death, I curse it, I reboot it, and I move on. If your autonomous vehicle has a blue screen of death going 70 miles an hour on the freeway, yeah, there's no rebooting the family, right? So the stakes are much higher because it's no longer an inconvenience. It's actually a life safety issue. And those aren't the only threats, right? Life safety at that top tier, we really need to worry about it, not only from a world-class terrorist threat to an individual vehicle to things like that, pedestrian safety and all that, but if we even take some of the lesser risks where you've got the availability of the system, right? Ransomware infects your system and you don't get to start and go to work in the morning, right? Unless you pay the ransom.
Right.
Right. You know, you can have individual failures of systems or hijacking of systems. Can you imagine an auto thief doesn't even have to show up to your car, remotely hacks it and has it drive to where it wants it to go? Right. They don't have to go over there and pick the locks. Potentially they could do it remotely. There's nothing you can do. Right. And because you have it connected to your home systems, it'll do it while it's in the garage, open up the garage door, back out, and drive off. You know, okay, we have to worry about availability. We have to worry about the security of other systems, too, because, again, it is going to be connected to your home security system or your home automation system. We have to worry about it hacking the phones when people get in, right? Or the PCs that are those connected to. What about your cloud devices? Because this is going to be connected to all of those. You start interweaving these autonomous vehicles into the electronic ecosystem of your life, and anything it's connected to, weakest link, right? So we have to worry about the security of other devices, including what about the smart cities that these autonomous vehicles will be connecting to? You potentially could be hacking or being, you know, your vehicle could be used to hack the vehicles near you, or the lampposts, or the smart city devices, right? The streetlights, all sorts of different things. So we have to worry about availability, security, safety, and let's not forget privacy, right? It's not just the privacy of the people inside the vehicle, which it will be listening to your conversations, it will be taking videos of you, of everything that you're doing in the car. You also have to worry about it tracking you. right? These companies are going to understand who's in the car, where you're going, what grocery stores do you go to, right? What nightclubs do you go to, right? What trips do you take to your girlfriend or your mistress or whatnot late at night? It's going to track everything, right? It's also going to track your behavioral, right? Your behaviors. How often do you go to the liquor store, right? Yeah. I mean, and it can start pulling all that data in, and all that data just adds to the information that's already out there about you. But this is very, very personal. For a large number of Americans, you know, our car is kind of a safe haven where we get to be alone and private, and we get to do things.
And, it's our cone of silence.
It is. And all that goes away. And that now ties into everything else that they track about you, from social media to what you're buying at grocery stores to everything else. And now you can start having invasive marketing. Think about it. You're driving down the street, and as you pass a supermarket, on your screen comes an ad for things that you normally buy there, right? And you think, well, that isn't that bad. But again, now start adding that in and compounding it in, right? Maybe you get in the car and it wants to play certain ads or tell you certain news stories to influence you, right? NPR, which I absolutely love, what if they start playing certain, you know, podcasts that are intended to change your opinion about voting or something else, right? And it could be a company you trust. It could be somebody you don't trust, right? A nation state out there that's trying to get you to vote one way or another. I mean, there's so many different things. Because it's now tracking where you are, it has you for your time. It can blend and synthesize all of that. We've got privacy issues. And don't forget about the privacy of everybody you're driving by, right? Every pedestrian that walks by you, how easy is it to do facial recognition on them? Right. So again, now that adds information into the cloud and everything else. And these vehicles are generating tremendous amounts of data. Current estimates are between 4 and 11 terabytes of data per car per day. Right. That is
kind of makes you want to take the bicycle, doesn't it?
Yeah. But again, you drive by an autonomous car and it's going to track you. It's going to see who you are, where you're at, what you're doing. Right? Is that really your bicycle? All sorts of things. So, you know, there's availability, security, privacy, and safety concerns around all of this. And if you are oversimplifying the problem and thinking, hey, this is just a regular consumer device, you know, it's not your DVD player. It has a lot more importance than that, right? So you've got oversimplification. And regulatory controls aren't there yet. Regulatory controls tend to be responsive, right, to bad things happening. And so when bad things happen, regulations then get enacted. Well, the bad things aren't happening yet. But when they do start hitting the road, yeah, bad things can happen very, very, very fast, right? This can go to scale and get out of control very, very quickly. So we don't have the regulations there. We don't have the right mindset for the security folks. They're oversimplifying it. And the simple fact is time to market and functionality of the core product is taking precedence, which is, you know, it happens in business, but you have to get a functioning product out there. There's certain competitiveness. You've already made guarantees, right? There are expectations, and it's a huge potential market of revenue. So, okay, get the product working out there. We'll worry about that deep security stuff later, right? Slap a firewall on it, put some AV on it, let's go. We'll patch it later. And that's the mentality we've seen in technology before. And for that DVD player, that's kind of okay. It's not great, right? Bad things have happened. But when you start adding the mix in with this, the depth of privacy and especially the life safety, that's really not going to play.
Yeah, and this kind of, as you're talking, I'm thinking catch 22 here, because in order to fix the problem, okay, we've got to have an AI that can figure out every potential issue. Like the guy from Ford said, we discovered that our AI had no way to deal with somebody riding a bicycle on the wrong way between the cars. Yeah, right. And he just said, human activity is so unpredictable that we haven't yet come to the point where we've included absolutely everything we can to make AI truly functional. But in order to make AI truly functional, we've got to give up our privacy and our security so they can capture the instances. And we don't want to do that either. So if the public doesn't want to participate in the growth of this, which is really the bottom line, as you pointed out, you know, for a long time, technology companies have developed technology that they expected us to adapt to. Mm-hmm. And now we've got technology that is absolutely dependent on being able to adapt to us. And it's not working out too well.
And there are huge problems in gathering necessary data, but even if you had necessary data, it still becomes problematic over time, right? So for the bicycle example, bicycles have been around for a long time. Great. It's unusual to have somebody riding across traffic, you know, against traffic, weaving in between cars. But if you had enough data, an AI system might be able to compensate for that, to recognize it and compensate. But what about the next vehicle that we're on, right? The electronic skateboards. Well, that's different than a bicycle. Well, wait, we would need a whole bunch of new data about that. Okay, great. What about the next, the hoverboards and, right? Humans change and the modes of transportation change. And the behaviors change. You know, right now, autonomous vehicles need highly detailed maps of areas, good weather, things of that sort, to really operate well based on their sensors and data mapping, so on. So you start throwing problems into that, and it just doesn't work. You start evolving the modes of transportation and things that they haven't seen and adding that into the mix. Now you've got problems, right? And you get back to square one. Oh, we need to learn about that. We need a whole bunch more data, right? And so it's an ever-increasing evolution. AI systems work fantastic in static environments, especially if you take the human out of it, because we tend to be just a bundle of chaos, right? But when you get into very dynamic, chaotic, and ever-changing environments, AIs fundamentally struggle. So that becomes a problem. And if we take it back to the cybersecurity aspects, right, the attackers, given the stake, given the potential rewards and benefits of it, the attackers are going to come out these environments very hard, very fast, right? Yeah. And it's going to be the simple criminals that will go, hey, ransomware here, will have a huge return. Everybody's going to pay ransomware if I get these cars infected, right? Because they want to get home, right? So they're going to go after it, the simple criminal, all the way through, across the spectrum, to nation states, to be able to say, hey, if I want to, I can completely immobilize a nation, right? And that helps me if I'm in warfare, right, at the top end, all the way down to I don't like their policies. So let me shut down all of their cities. Let me shut down their food supply. Let me shut down everything, because we rely on that. We rely on our vehicles and our transportation systems to supply food and fuel and to move around. So you will have a massive spectrum that are going to be looking at this. And again, the threats of today aren't going to be the threats and attacks that we have to worry about.
Right.
So the technologies, the cybersecurity technologies that are effective or mostly effective today, they're not going to have a whole lot of impact to these highly motivated, very skilled attackers that are going to be very creative. Again, you got to protect all this stuff.
Yeah.
So we're facing some challenges here. We definitely are. Functionality will probably come first for these devices, and they will try and get them to market. And when they do get them to market, they're going to realize that security, safety, privacy, availability are all at risk. And their ideas of, we'll have antivirus, malware, firewalls, whatever, that'll be sufficient? No. We'll patch. No. right? It just simply won't work.
Yeah.
The timing won't be there, and consumers won't be okay with that. Oh, we're working on a patch. You can't drive your car for the next 3 days. No, that doesn't work for me. I need to get somewhere. I need to pick up my kids. I need to get groceries. We're still testing the patch. Or even worse, they'll put out a bad patch and you get stuck somewhere. Oh, sorry, we're reworking that patch. Okay, I'm stuck at the grocery store. I can't get home. The ice cream's melting. My kid's screaming in the back seat. And you're telling me that I can't go anywhere because your patch is bad and that you're reworking it? Right. So the expectations will change. And cybersecurity will vary. With a lack of cybersecurity, it will become a priority. And then you've now got regulatory functions that will then come in going, hey, we need to regulate this. Yeah. Our constituents are saying this is not okay. So let's go to, and I can see it already, let's go to the healthcare model, which means before you put anything to market, we need a huge slew of tests to validate it. And just as we do for healthcare devices, which is great for initial release. But it absolutely breaks when you have to deploy a patch. Oh, you want to deploy a patch? Okay, you need 6 weeks of testing. What? Right? So these devices are going to be insecure and potentially hacked for 6 weeks or 6 months? That doesn't work either, right?
Yeah.
And that's why the healthcare industry is struggling. But again, regulators tend to go to with models that they know. And
yeah.
Those models don't work here either.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite phrases.
So it's going to be interesting, my friend.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite phrases is that government regulation is a great idea in theory, but in practice, not so much.
Yeah, and they have their uses. They have their purposes, right? Especially when it's trying to raise all boats to a minimum standard. I like it. And if the normal economic benefits don't drive companies to do the right thing, then yes, regulations are necessary. But if it's a healthy environment where there's good competition, where security, safety, and privacy are considered competitive advantages, and companies are always striving to do better for the end consumer in those aspects, regulations can be a huge hindrance. So like anything, we have to find that right balance. And that right balance isn't stagnant. It changes over time based on our expectations, the usages, consumer expectations, all sorts of different things. And even what the threats are doing, right? More pressure by the cyber threats means a balance has to change.
Right. We have a long way to go before we see our streets filled with safe driverless cars. I think that's pretty much obvious. But AI still has a potential strength for bringing it to us faster. Next week, we're going to talk to Giselle Lorenzo, Vice President of Product Development at Axiata, who's going to give us an overview of the process for developing automotive artificial intelligence and where the best path forward is. So thanks for listening to Crucial Tech. See you next week. This has been a Footwashing Media production.